Psalm chapter 25, verses 1 through 7. To thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in thee I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for thee will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. Make me know thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. For thee I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy compassion and thy loving kindness, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to thy loving kindness, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord.
From this psalm, Psalms 25, we want to note the meekness of David as expressed in the context of this chapter. We're simply going to note some of the things that are said throughout this chapter. It's not my intent to be very long about this, but I simply want to note some things. In verse 1, the psalmist said, "Unto thee, O Jehovah, do I lift up my soul." David expresses his heart's desire, much like Saul or Paul does in Acts chapter 9 and Romans chapter 9 and Romans chapter 10, his heart's desire unto God, recognizing that there's not anybody else to turn to. David is writing during a very difficult time. In Psalms 25, verse 2, he said, "O my God, in thee have I trusted. Let me not be put to shame. Let not mine enemies triumph over me." David's desire was that he be forgiven, that he stand right. We know that David had committed sin. We don't know specifically in this chapter what sin he's referring to, though we will note that in verse 11 he refers to it as a great sin. But we know in 2 Samuel chapter 11 that he identifies the sin, or is identified the sin that he committed with Bathsheba. He'd taken another man's wife. He had tried to cause her husband to think that the child that was conceived was his. He had ultimately lied about the circumstance and then ultimately plotted to have Uriah the Hittite killed. Now we know in the 12th chapter, the writer tells us, "Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of Jehovah to blaspheme." David said, "I trusted in you. I don't want my enemies to gain any kind of victory. I want to be forgiven. The sin that I've committed, I don't want it to reflect upon you." You'll note in verse 3, he said, "Yea, none that wait for thee shall be put to shame. They shall be put to shame that deal treacherously without cause." This element of waiting is very difficult. It is not an easy task to wait for something that has been promised. But yet we note that the reward is promised to those that wait. Turn your Bible to Isaiah chapter 40. In Isaiah chapter 40, I was thinking of this as we were singing this morning, knowing what I was going to be talking about tonight. Isaiah expresses in chapter 40, verse 27, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from Jehovah, and the justice due to me is passed away from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, Jehovah, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not. Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to him that hath no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait for Jehovah shall renew in strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." What a beautiful picture is revealed here regarding those who wait, to never grow weary, to mount up with wings of eagles, and to fly in the strength of one's youth. What a wonderful presentation that Isaiah makes in this passage. When we note in John chapter 6, when so many were forsaking the Lord, and he turned to the disciples and said, "Will you also go away?" You remember the words of the Apostle Peter, "To whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life." There's not anybody else coming. There's not anybody else to wait for. There's not any other victory to be delivered. So the psalmist writes in Psalms chapter 69, "I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God." Have you ever done something that at least in your mind was so horrible that you sat down and just cried your eyes out? You'd cried till there were no more tears to come. You lived in the shame of what you did and the desire to be forgiven, to be right with God. That's what's expressed here in Psalms chapter 69. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. I've cried my eyes out. What I'm seeking is the forgiveness of God. We know further in this chapter, he says, "Show me thy paths, O Jehovah. Teach me thy paths. Guide me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. For thee do I wait all the day long." We sing a song kind of like that, do we not? And indeed, that's true. We need to sing about this because David is seeking the ways of God. The familiar 23rd Psalm, "He restoreth my soul. He guideth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Those of you in our authority class and other classes, we've tried to memorize Jeremiah 10, verse 23, and Proverbs 14, 12, and similar passages, 16, 25, that indicate that it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. You see, there's not anybody else to go to ask the question and to seek the information that David is seeking. And so consequently, he said, "For thee do I wait." In verse 6, he said, "Remember, O Jehovah, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy loving kindness. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Jehovah." I want to ping on this expression, "remember not the sins of my youth," to emphasize, I think, the thought that David is expressing in this passage that God sees everything. He knows everything you've ever done, except that which He has forgiven. Those things the Scriptures teach are blotted out of His book of remembrance. And aren't we glad about that? That those things are not held against us. They're remembered no more. Proverbs 25, beginning in verse 8, he said, "Good and upright is Jehovah. Therefore will He instructs sinners in the way. The meek will He guide in justice, and the meek will He teach His way. All the paths of Jehovah are loving kindness and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies." Our point from this passage is to emphasize that the meek are those that God will bless and guide in His way. We're familiar with the text of Matthew, the 18th chapter, in verse 3, where Jesus brought a little child to Him and indicated that except you humble yourselves and become as this little child, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. The point being, here is an attitude on the part of children that we need to emulate: the humility, the meekness, the gentleness that characterizes a child. We see David expressing something similar to that in Psalms 51 and verse 17, where he is expressing his broken heart. It tells us that a broken and a contrite heart God will not despise. He will accept that. This attitude of humility, God responds to that, and David is seeking that in Psalms chapter 25. In verse 11, he comes to the point. He said, "For thy name's sake, O Jehovah, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." It's interesting to me to note that he spends a good bit of time dealing with some very important issues prior to verse 11. But it takes a good bit of time in dealing with these other issues to come to verse 11. You know, we read in Luke chapter 18 about the publican who smote himself upon the chest and said, "Be thou merciful to me, a sinner." It took David a little while to get to that. But he does indicate his sin is great. You see the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans, the 7th chapter, in the text that, at least for me, is difficult to read. "The things that I would, these are not the things that I do, but the things that I know, these," and so forth and so on. He said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of the body of this death?" And he said, "I thank God." You see, that can only happen through His Son, Jesus the Christ. Forgiveness of sins is what David is seeking. And he's seeking it with a meek and gentle spirit. He's seeking it with an attitude of humility, knowing that only God can offer what he's seeking. And then he stresses the importance of the man that fears God. In the next couple of verses, he said, "What man is he that feareth Jehovah? Him shall he instruct in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the land." The friendship of Jehovah is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. When David is seeking the forgiveness of God, is that not an indication of who God is? The wisdom writer tells us in Proverbs 1, fear of Jehovah is the beginning of knowledge, but the foolish despise wisdom and instruction. Difficult to teach somebody that doesn't have reverence and respect for the Almighty Creator. David said God's blessings are upon those who fear God. Furthermore, David continues in verse 15, mine eyes are ever toward Jehovah. He will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me. For he said, I am desolate and afflicted. David is praying to God, expressing the attitude of one who has sinned greatly and is seeking that which only God can give. He's seeking the forgiveness of God. There's no other source to turn to find that. And as you continue in that context, look at these words. He said, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring me thou out of my distresses. Consider mine affliction and my travail. Forgive all my sins. Look again at the words, troubles, distresses, affliction, travail. David is disturbed by the things that he has committed. It's obvious that he has a conscience. Thus he's described as a man after God's own heart. He seeks to be forgiven. He seeks to turn from the things that he knows have been an offense and insult to God. And then as he continues in this, 19 through 21, he says, consider mine enemies, for they are many. And they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for thee. Now let me ask you, beloved brethren, when you read the context of Psalms 25 and understand clearly the things that David is seeking, he's seeking the blessings of God. He's seeking the forgiveness of God for some great sins that he has acknowledged that he has committed. Where else can he go for that? Where else can you go? Where else can any of us go? You see, there's no other source of help for that which David is seeking, forgiveness. In the New Testament, as the apostles are beginning to preach the gospel in these early chapters, in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 9, there the writer says, Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 9, the context has to do with in whose name this man in chapter 3 has been made whole. And the apostle Peter begins to speak, if we this day are examined concerning a good deed done to an impotent man, by what means this man is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even in him doth this man stand here before you whole. In verse 12 he continues, and in none other is there salvation, for neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men wherein we must be saved. My friend, when you're thinking about sinful things that you've done, and the way that you stand before God, where else is there to go to find salvation? There's no other source of help. Now, David knows that. David finalizes his statements in Psalms 25. If you'll note in verse 22, he said, redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Redeem Israel. The thing that I find so interesting about that statement is David is not at this point reflecting simply upon David, is he? He's thinking about others. And so when we think about our sin and the gravity of the sin that we have committed, the consequences of it, what was necessary in order for us to be forgiven of it, let us not just think, what can I do about my sin and ask God, forgive me of my sin, but let's think about others too. You see, the apostle, when he is expressing at the end of his life that he's fought a good fight, finished the course, kept the faith, he said, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. But he said, not for me only, but for all them that have loved his appearing. Now, consequently, David is expressing throughout this psalm, I'll wait, I'll wait, I'll wait. You know why? As we have on the board, and as we frequently said, there's not any place to quit. Where do you quit? You ever been discouraged? You ever felt like giving up? Ever felt like what you did or didn't do was of such magnitude that there just wasn't any hope left? No, no. No, David said, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. And the reason for that is you can't quit. I'm not talking about logistics. Yeah, I understand you can give up. But you see, you can't have what you desire if you quit. There's not a place to give up and quit. God holds out His hand of forgiveness to us. Now, the point of the time for now is to extend the Lord's invitation to those who would desire His blessings. Perhaps your conscience is smitten like David. You know, I've done something. I've done things that are wrong, and I need to be forgiven of it. There's no other source to go to but to the Lord. That's the only place you can find what you're seeking. But if you're seeking that, being assured that God gave His Son to make that possible, He cares enough for you. And you put your name on that line. He cares enough for you that He did that very thing. He gave His Son. If you want His forgiveness, you come to Him. He'll offer it. He'll extend it. He'll make it happen. But you must believe that He is the Christ, turning from your sin and repentance. Would you then confess your faith and be baptized for the remission of your sins? Don't give up. Don't shrink away into the shades of darkness. You stay with it. You be faithful. Unto the end, you'll receive the crown of life. If you be subject to the invitation, we can help you. Make that known. While together we stand and while we sing.